I'm not a loser, but sometimes I do loser things.
In the event that this fails, they'll never be able to come to me and say, hey, remember that podcast you did that didn't go so well? No, that was our podcast. We did that. Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to episode 28 of the In My Own Words podcast. I'm your host, Tony R. Sanders. Happy Sunday, everybody. Hope everybody's doing great on this Sunday morning. I've been thinking about starting the podcast off with something else other than Happy Sunday, because I don't know when you guys listen to this. I know some of you guys listen to it on Sunday. I know some of you listen to it on Monday. I know some of you save them up for a couple weeks at a time and then binge listen when you need something to do at work. I don't know. But happy whatever day it is. Happy that day to you. Having a good day today. I hope everyone else is as well. Got a couple things to talk about this week that I'm super excited for. I feel like I'm getting back in my podcast groove this week. These last couple of weeks, I've been working on other projects and kind of preparing for the documentary to come out that came out last Sunday on Mother's Day. I want to say thank you for all those who watched it, who commented, who texted me, sent me a message just saying that they really enjoyed and appreciated the vulnerability, the honesty, and the overall message, look, and feel of the documentary. It's so dope when you have people that you know and people that you don't know really connect with something that you create. I was just talking to a couple of friends of mine who drove here from Columbus, Ohio. Shout out to Chuck and shout out to Gavin. It was super dope. They came up for some other things, but also had an opportunity to visit with me and me to visit with them. And we were just talking about how surreal, almost to a certain extent, it is to have an idea and to take that idea from a thought or, you know, a part of your brain, and now just to see it live and breathe, so to speak. And that happens with a business, that happens when you create content, that happens even with this podcast. Like, literally, just hit me one day. I should do a podcast. I should call it this. It should look like this. And now I'm sharing it with you guys. And so just to go from that moment to where it's an idea and then other people get to enjoy your ideas, that's a really, really dope thing. And it's really incredible when you have an idea and that idea starts to bring you back revenue, right? You have this idea, you throw it out into the world, and then that idea starts to bring you back revenue. I remember, real quick story time, I remember with my business that I had, we were doing, you know, business and everything was going great. And, you know, you're kind of in the middle of the hustle and bustle of everything. And you don't really realize what's going on in the moment, right? It's almost like your body and your brain goes into survival mode. And I'm just servicing clients and I want to make sure everyone's happy. I want to make sure that my employees are happy. I want to make sure that my clients are happy. I want to make sure that everything that we're doing it up to our standard and up to what we agreed upon in the scope of the contract and all these other things. And then we got this real cool moment where me and Michelle went to Vegas for the first time, and we're at the Stratosphere, which at that moment was the tallest hotel in Vegas. We're at the south end of a strip, I believe. And from our hotel room, you can look and see the entire strip. And that was a moment where I could have cried. Like, I could have just balled up in tears and just went under the cover, under the bed, and cried, because an idea got me there. I wasn't there because I was punching the clock somewhere and someone was sending me a paycheck every Friday and I saved up those paychecks and now I'm here. I literally sat in my room, had an idea, threw that idea into the world. It generated revenue for us, not only just to pay the bills, but also to take us on a vacation to a place that at that time we had never been before and experience new things. And I'm like, man, God, this is just an idea that I had not too long ago, and now it's a revenue generator. And so that's a really cool thing. If you haven't had that experience, go get that experience. It's really, really dope, especially if you're a creative, if you're a creator, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're just someone who has ideas, execute on those ideas and make sure that you have an opportunity to put them out in the world. You never know what you may get in return. The documentary is out, and I didn't get any financial gain in return, even though that wasn't the intent. But the intent was to help those who may be struggling with
losing someone that's close to them. And the fact that we were able to do that, we being my family, was just so dope. So many people said that it helped them with the loss of their loved one. Someone texted me and said that this documentary came out on the 9-year anniversary of their mom's death. Someone else said that, you know, they are have a situation right now where a close relative to them is going to be pretty much gone at any moment. And so this is helping them already start to cope with the possibility they're not going to have this person anymore. And so just to hear that stuff back, that was better than whatever revenue I could have generated from that particular idea. Just the fact that it hit home where it was supposed to hit home, and that, you know, the intended purpose was reached. That's just really dope. And so thank you guys for tuning into that. Thank you guys for watching and sharing and commenting. You guys have no idea what that means to me. It means the world to me. I know a lot of people are like, hey, I was going to watch it, but it was 30 minutes long. It is a longer, I guess, content than what you would normally see on Facebook. Not that long for YouTube, I don't think. And definitely, you know, I do 45 minutes to an hour podcast video every single week on my YouTube. So it shouldn't be too long. But it is, you know, honestly, I don't think when you watch it, it feels like 30 minutes. That's what most people who've watched it, you know, I think that it's done in a way where it captivates your attention, and there's a story arc, and you have to see where the story lands with each individual and us as a family as a whole. So it kind of keeps you watching it. Also, I'll be honest, I record it for, I have 3 to 4 hours of content from that day. I could have put out a 3-hour documentary. I could have put out a 90-minute documentary. My original intentions was to do a 90-minute documentary, but I know that people, you know, have short attention span and whatever, whatever. So I wanted to make sure that I got it to people in a consumable way that it didn't compromise the overall purpose and goal. And I think that we were able to do that. So shout out to you guys. Round of applause. I really, really appreciate it. Let's jump into this episode with a WOW Award.
Oh my God! Wow!
Now, for those of you who don't know, I do a WOW Award almost every week, and it's an opportunity for me to acknowledge somebody that is choosing whackness over wisdom. It's somebody who knows better but choose not to do better. And now, for this one, you have to watch it on the video, on YouTube or Instagram, wherever you catch this video, because there's no audio to the clip. It's just video. But for those of you who are listening, I'm going to describe to you what happens in the video. So Arnold Schwarzenegger appears to be at a gym somewhere, some type of an event. It looks like to be a lot of physical activity going on around him. There are people jumping rope. It looks like to be in some type of a basketball gym. And while he is signing an autograph, the video is kind of grainy, but while he's signing an autograph, some idiot, some WOW Award winner, comes and jumps in the air, both feet in the air, and like Liu Kang, like Liu Kang off of Mortal Kombat, like tries to kick, not tries, he did, he kicked Arnold Schwarzenegger in the back. Like literally left their feet and kicked Arnold Schwarzenegger in the back. Now,
wow.
This is where the wow moment comes in. First of all, why would you want to do that to Arnold Schwarzenegger? I don't know the backstory. I don't know what Arnold may or may not have done. But there are certain people, have you ever heard the phrase that people are due to be fooled with? There's certain people who just not do. They are just not due to, it's not their time yet. Arnold Schwarzenegger is one of those guys. I don't know, if you've seen Terminator, any of them, pick one. Any one of the 18 Terminators. That should have let you know he wasn't due to be fooled with. Even the Last Action Hero, if you watch that, that will let you know that the Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger, is not due to be fooled with. Name a movie. True Lies would let you know that this man is not due to be fooled with. Here's what I want to know. After you kicked him in the back, then what? Now, Arnold Schwarzenegger's been in this game a long time. He's a very, very smart man, right? He knows how to handle himself. He knows how to manage his money. He knows how to manage his time. You can see the discipline he has just from working out, even before the movie thing popped off for him. He's not a dumb guy. So lucky for you, he had security around him. Could you imagine what kind of Total Recall move he would have did on this young man if he didn't have security around him? And the craziest thing about this is this dude got a running head start, right? He came from the other side of the gym, left his feet, had the momentum jumped and kicked this man in the back, and this man didn't fall. He didn't stumble. He didn't roll over. Like, nothing happened. It was the equivalent of someone patting him on the back just a little too hard. Just a little too hard. So if that's what your kick did, what was your plan after you kicked him? You thought he was just going to be okay with that? You thought his security guards weren't going to jump on you? Even if it were just you and him in the alley, you think you can beat the Terminator? You think that you're going to win a fight between yourself? See, look, I should take it easy on this guy because it is Mental Health Awareness Month, and clearly this guy's not okay. This guy is not mentally sharp enough to understand that that is the Terminator over there, and if I run up to him and I try to kick him, it's not going to end well for me. Physically, through the criminal justice system, any way you look at it, it's not going to look good for me. I'm in a position where I only want to win. I don't want to do anything that is going to cause me to lose. I'm not afraid of losing, but if it looks like I'm going to lose, or it's a guarantee or a good chance that I'm going to lose, I'm probably not going to play that game. I don't mind taking risks, but you don't want to take those kind of risks. He's taking graveyard chances messing with Arnold Schwarzenegger. So he definitely deserves this WOW award.
Oh my God! Wow!
Now, I want to get into a different segment, a new segment on the show. This is going to be something new I've never done before. I'm going to do it once and see how it all turns out. I was talking to someone the other day, and they mentioned to me that I don't get mad. I'm like, oh, Tony, I've never seen you mad. I'm like, what? Yeah, do you get mad? Do you raise your voice? Does it happen? Yes, I get mad. In fact, here's the funny part. I'm often irritated and mad a lot. I just probably do a good job of not showing it, right? And it's little things that annoy me. It's really, really small little things that shouldn't matter, that shouldn't bother me, but ultimately they do bother me. And so I want to start a segment on the show, and I'm going to call this segment Always Angry.
Now might be a really good time for you to get angry.
That's my secret. I'm always angry.
Now, on Always Angry, I want to talk about the little things that come up that make me very, very upset on an almost daily basis. Some of them will be rational. Some of them won't be. Some of them will be logical. Some of them won't be. But I want to talk about one today that definitely makes me upset. Now, you guys know I've been working very, very hard to try to get this body in shape, right? I know people say, you're already in shape. Yeah, but not the shape I want to be. There's a different shape that I'm looking for. There's a bunch of different shapes, right? When people say they want to get their body in shape, I often wonder, what shape are they aiming for? Some of them look like they're aiming for the shape of a laundry detergent bottle. I don't know if that's the shape you want to go to the beach with. That's not the shape I'm looking for. So I'm trying to get this body into shape, which requires me to go to the gym. Now, I'm at the point now where I actually enjoy and look forward to going to the gym. Most times, the times that I don't feel like I want to go to the gym or look forward to going to the gym where there's annoying people there. Now, if you've ever been to the gym and you've seen the annoying guy that has way too much energy, he's clearly taken way too much pre-workout. He's bouncing off the walls. He's annoying the heck out of everybody. And he doesn't shut up for any reason. He's grunting, picking up weights. He's making all this noise. He's slamming weights down. Just a true meathead. The other day, I'm at the gym, and there's a guy bouncing around, trying to use every piece of equipment that's in there. Horrible form, if I may say so. Has no idea what he's doing. Looks like he probably goes to the gym once a decade. But today, he's just super excited about it, right? And so I'm lifting, I'm working out, I'm focused, I got my headphones on, I'm listening to music, I'm locked in, and all I want to focus on is getting this weight off myself, right? I'm pushing this weight, I'm trying to get it off myself, and I'm doing 3 sets of 12. And in my second set, around the 10th rep, I hear a voice that says to me, "Yo, you almost done with that?" What do you mean am I almost done with that? Don't you see me still holding it? It's still in my hands. I'm not even up off the machine yet. This is what I don't understand. If you see me using something, why are you asking me if I'm done using it? Clearly I'm not. If you see me using it, help me understand. Help me understand why you're asking me if I'm done using something that I'm currently using? Please help me understand. It's like the people that knock on the bathroom door and say, hey, you done in there? No. If I was done in here, I wouldn't be in here anymore. Use your brain.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
I don't understand the nerve of some people that think that they have the right to whatever you're using right now. I'm using it right now. It's in my hands. I'm not even done with my set. And here's the part that really, really made me angry. So I finished my reps. I finished that set. And then I finished the next set. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to be nice. I'm going to get the little disinfectant wipe. I'm going to wipe everything down. I'm going to make sure it's good for him. I even took weight off so he can put it wherever he wants to put it. I'm being the nice guy. I'm being very courteous. I go up to the guy and I said, hey, I'm done using it. You can have it. I'm finished with it now. Guess what he said? No, I found something else. I'm good. No, you're going to use this machine today. You are going to, if I have to stand over you and spot you myself, my brother, you are going to use this machine today. You interrupted my weightlifting. You interrupted my set. You're all in my head now. I don't even want to work out. I don't even want to be around you right now. If you do anything, you're going to use this machine today. I am not playing. And he just didn't. He just kept bouncing around the gym, asking people. He asked every single person in the gym that day if they were done using the machine that he was never gonna use. I feel like I was on a hidden camera prank show. In fact, I hope I was. That would be the only way to justify what happened in the gym yesterday. Well, for me to be on a hidden prank, I must have been on Punk'd or the Jamie Kennedy experiment or some dumb YouTuber's page that has hidden cameras. I don't know. It was the Carbonaro effect. I don't know what was happening other than this guy was just trying to do the best he could to get under my skin. Yes, those are the things. Those are the things that make me angry. For those of you who are wondering if I get angry, yes, I do get angry. And those are the things on a daily basis that make me angry. I'm out of breath now. I need to cut, get a drink of water. See, this is when not editing the podcast kind of works against me, because right now I want to like take a time out. Let me just calm down. Let me come back to center, do a little 5-second meditation, you know, breathe in through the nose, out through the mouth, chant my mantra, and then come back and pod with you guys. But I can't do that. So let's just move on. What do we want to move on to next? This is where we want to move on to next. Let's give a round of applause to DJ Khaled. DJ Khaled is an amazing person. And let me tell you why he's an amazing person. Anyone that can go through life with their first name being exactly identical to their last name and still be successful is a champion. You can't dispute it. If my name was Tony, I don't think I would have been very much in life. I don't know how I would have gotten past the third grade if my name was just Tony. DJ Khaled's name is Khaled. I'm not making this up. His real government paycheck bank account name says Khaled. Spelled the same. It's not Khaled with the I and Khaled with the E. There's not a mispronunciation going on. His name is Khaled. And he's still out here winning. He's still out here yelling, "We the best." He's still out here exercising for 3 hours every day and not losing no weight. He's still at it. So shout out to Khaled for just being an amazing person. And also shout out to him for this album that he put out. Now, full disclosure, I haven't listened to the entire album. Khaled albums for me are not the album experience where it's going to be a super cohesive project where you can sit down and you have to start at the beginning and go track by track to get the full message of what he's saying, right? For example, if you listen to a Jay-Z album, you have to listen to it from first track to last track and everything in between to get the full message of what he's communicating. A Nas album, same thing. Kendrick, Drake, Cole, I'll even give it to Chance, Wale for sure, Big Sean. There's a lot of people where you have to listen to that first track. Vic Mensa, Vince Staples, you have to listen to the entire project to really get the essence of what they're saying. Khaled's projects for me are like a playlist. It will sound good if you listen to it from front to back. It'll sound good if you just turn it on and hit shuffle. It's mostly a collection of just really, really good songs. And he always ends it with something positive or spiritual in most cases in the end, right? And so with this album, I haven't listened to every song. I kind of went through the features and I listened to a couple songs. I really love the SZA record. He has a record with SZA, and they redo Sorry Miss Jackson by Outkast, and SZA does her own, that's the beat, and she does her own thing to it. I think that's dope. They have a song Wish Wish with 21 Savage and Cardi. I think that's a good song. I think that'll be played a lot this summer. They had another song. What was it? Thank You by Big Sean, I think it was. Big Sean had a lot of bars on there. I'm a Big Sean fan, so that was really, really dope. But the song that really got me and that really touched me, and I'm sure touched a lot of people, was the song with Nipsey and John Legend. Now, obviously, we lost Nipsey this year, and a couple of days before Nipsey passed, apparently he did this video with DJ Khaled and John Legend. And there's a couple of amazing things about the video. The video is just super incredible just to see Nipsey. The name of the song is Higher, and so that already adds another level of just depth to the video and the whole concept and everything that's going on. And they got John Legend up from the piano. Like, he was playing the piano for the most part, but at the end of the video, they got him up from the piano. But man, just watching this video, it was enough for me to almost cry. Let's check out the clip.
We keep going higher.
My goodness, man. That was a hard video to watch. When it came out, I watched it, like I hit play, and the first time, like as soon as I saw Nipsey, I paused it. And I had to mentally check in with myself and say, okay, mentally, emotionally, right now, at this hour, do you want to watch this video? Because it's, for me, it's one of those things that could send me into a tailspin. If I watch that, the wrong thing at the wrong time, right? If I'm already mentally in a bad space or emotionally not feeling there, or, you know, I'm already kind of down in the dumps and just letting the weight of the world get to my shoulders, that video is one that could send me over the edge, right? And so if you haven't seen it yet, which I can't imagine you haven't, unless you're not a fan, but if you haven't seen it yet, I would definitely say, you know, if you were a Nipsey fan or you were touched by his story at all, or, you know, you're touched by the relationship that he had with his children or with his girl, be, you know, watch the video, proceed with caution, because it was definitely a tearjerker. So I checked with myself, and I asked myself, am I ready? Myself said yes. I hit play, and I watched the video. And, man, I'm telling you, again, if I could have cried, I would have bawled like a baby. Why can't I cry? Do I need to talk to – I may need to talk to a therapist about not being able to cry. That's a different subject. It was just so incredible to see Nipsey and to hear what he was talking about on his last days on earth. I love that he was able to talk about some of the things that he did in the street, but giving you the truth of it, right? He was, it's like Jay-Z said that, you know, they keep saying he's talking about crack. He's talking about pain, not profit. He's giving you like the other side of it, like not about the making money. Like I buried my friends. You know what I mean? Like I got friends doing time right now. You know, that was more of the sentiment behind what he was saying. And Nipsey did a great job of that, too. He was talking about being chased by the police. He was talking about growing up and making money from the curb. He was talking about all of these things, but in a realistic way to let you know that even from his perspective at that time, looking back on it, I thought I was lucky, but it was God's plan. I thought it was, you know, I thought I was out here making chess moves, but it was really God's plan. It was really God watching over me and making sure that I'm good. So he gives it to you with the level of perspective to let you know that he recognized what he was doing wasn't great. And what he was doing was not the smartest thing for him to do. And that's just really, really dope when you get that perspective. Also, you hear him talk about how his father was a first generation immigrant. And, you know, just to go one generation later, and now they have, you know, millions between him and his family, right? His bloodline has millions. Speaking of the money, Khaled, John Legend, and any other person that worked on this record have all agreed to give 100% of the proceeds to Nipsey's family, his kids, I think that's really, really dope. So make sure that if nothing else, you go stream the record. Nipsey did own his own masters. He does own all of his publishing, I believe. So make sure that you stream the record, because that money will go to his family, his children. And it made me think a lot. It made me think about, you know, a lot of the things that I have ideas about, or that I want to do, or the things that I want to create are in an effort to gain freedom, in an effort to gain independence, in an effort to gain something that I can pass on to my children, right? I work a 9-to-5, but when it's time for me to go, I can't take off my badge and give it to my son and be like, okay, you go in and do it now. It doesn't work like that. My name's not on the building. You know what I mean? I don't sign the paychecks there. And so to be able to see what he's created, even though he has so much more to create, so much more to give, so much more life left to live and lessons to learn and lessons to teach, it's still dope to see that even though his story is incomplete, he did it. He created something that he could pass on to his children and say, here, this is yours now. These kids aren't old enough to buy a pack of cigarettes, but yet they are inheriting millions. And millions in a way of love, millions in a way of dollars, millions in a way of care and prayers and support. They are gaining so much from the hard work that he put in, the effort, the sweat equity that he put in to make sure that he had something that he could physically grasp and put his hands on and say, here, this is yours now. And I identify with that. That resonates with me so much. And you can just feel it and hear it watching him in this video. It's almost like, I don't know, I wouldn't say that he knew it, but maybe his spirit knew that, like, this may be one of the last time, like, the world hears from me. So let me tell my story in a way that gives perspective and kind of peek behind the curtain a little bit to show you what I'm doing and what it means to me. Him talking about his family's journey and, you know, just the love that his mom and dad have and how that love, you know, matches up with what him and Lauren, like, it was just so incredible. So shout out to Khaled, shout out to Nipsey, shout out to John Legend. Really, really incredible. Really incredible visual and song that they did. Definitely check it out. Okay. This last one is going to be a little heavy. It's an appropriate conversation to have. It's an important conversation to have. And it's a necessary conversation to have. I believe it's a necessary conversation to have. Now, everybody's heard about the abortion laws that have been taking place in Missouri and Alabama and other places in the United States, effectively making abortions illegal and essentially banning them, right? Some states have given the penalty, or at least writing in the bill to give the penalty for a doctor that is doing an abortion up to 99 years in prison, I believe it is. So I want to get into this topic. I think it's one that's really, really important to discuss. I don't think it's one we can just skip over and act like nothing's happening. And with a platform that I have, I only enjoy talking about the things that are important to me. And this one is important to me. So I'm going to go to CBS for the clip here.
Breaking overnight, Missouri is pushing forward with sweeping new restrictions on abortion that ban the procedure at 8 weeks. Now, this comes after Alabama became the first state in decades to make abortion a crime in almost every case. Governor Kay Ivey signed a controversial bill calling for doctors who perform abortions to face up to 99 years in prison. The only exception is if the mother's life is at risk.
All right. So as you heard, they are making the performance of an abortion a crime. Now, I want to talk about a couple of different things before I tell you what we're going to talk about, how we're going to address this. One, I am not an expert on the legal system, the criminal justice system, or a law. I have a very basic understanding of whatever Schoolhouse Rock gave to us about how a bill becomes a law and how, you know, like that. Like that's the only thing I know. I don't claim or profess to be an expert in that arena. But I do want to talk about this and talk about it from a Christian perspective, because a lot of the people who I hear speaking up in favor of this bill are Christians, which makes them a brother or sister in Christ with myself. And so I think it's important that I address it from that perspective. Now, when it comes to Christianity, I am someone who tries to live the way, learn the way, and model the way in any way possible, right? I don't claim to be a theologian. I don't claim to be a Bible scholar. I don't claim to be Jesus Christ himself. I claim to be just a guy sitting in his living room talking to lights and walls from a Christian perspective. That's what my claim to fame to be, right? So now that I've got all the disclaimers out of the way, and now that I've said everything that I need to kind of set the stage, let's talk about it. I am pro-choice, but I am anti-abortion, if that makes any sense. So let me explain to you. On an individual basis, I don't believe that people should get an abortion under most normal standard situations. And I have to throw that caveat in there because people are going to say, well, what about, you know, rape, and what about incest, and what about X, and what about Y, and what about Z? I think that there's always nuance. There's always situations where that is the option that is going to be taken, and I understand why someone would want to take that option, right? Especially if you were raped or whatever the case may be. So outside of those very particular situations, it's not a choice that right now, sitting in this chair in my 32-year-old brain, it's not a choice that I would make, right? However, I don't believe that me or any governing party should be able to tell someone else what choice they have to make. Do you follow me? It's not a choice that I would make, but I am not of the belief or the mindset that I need to force my choices or my beliefs upon you now. So if you want to know where I stand on, you know, pro-life, pro-choice, I would say that I'm both. From a personal standpoint, I'm definitely pro-life. From an external standpoint, you choose what you do. That's one part of this. And this is a lot, so we need to unpack it. We need to take our time. There's a lot that goes into this conversation. It's not one that you can just jump into and easily break it down, right? Because there's a lot of nuance in this conversation, and there's a lot of emotion wrapped up in this conversation. So that's where I stand personally. I believe that everyone should have the ability to decide. It's not a decision that I would make, but I'm also not going to make the decision for you or force you to believe in the way that I believe. I don't think that any of those things are correct or acceptable or the way things should go, right? So that's one part of it. Another part of it is this. Men, we don't know and will never know what it's like to be born a woman, grow up in this world as a woman, a young lady, and live your everyday life as a woman. We won't know, we don't know, we will never know. Men have mastered a lot of things in our existence on earth. I've seen men master science. I've seen men master mathematics. I've seen men master art. I've never seen a man master a woman. Adam couldn't do it. Moses couldn't do it. Jesus didn't even try. I've never seen it happen. So, and most men don't even know how to effectively interact with a woman. So to go as far as to say, hey, women, here's what you should do with your body, I think is ridiculous. By any standard, any stretch of the imagination, I think it's frankly ridiculous. It is none of my business what a woman does with her body. I've never been a woman. I don't know how it is to be in a woman's body. I don't know what it's like to carry life. I don't know what it's like to have a period. I don't know what it's like to wake up every morning as a woman and to go out of my house into the world as a woman. I don't know what that's like, especially in a culture and a society that's very, very male dominated, where I'm the minority in most cases. And not only a minority, but in most cases, a physically weaker minority. That adds another level, another caveat that as men, we don't tend to think about. Right? When I did stand up, I had a joke to say when another man enters the room, all the other men, we check the guy out to see, we check the guy out to see if he could rape us if he wanted to. Like, all right, if it came down to it and me and this guy got into a fight and he wanted to have it, would I be able to stop him from getting it? Because that's like the last that's like the last frontier of my manhood is that right there. And so if it ever got to the craziest levels, would I be able to handle it? Think about being a woman and just knowing, for the most part, that any guy at any moment could try to be an idiot and just go insane, go berserk, and physically be able to take advantage of you. I can't imagine what that's like. And I'm not saying that this is all about, well, what if someone is raped? I'm not saying any of that. That's not even my argument. That's not my argument. My argument is it is a woman's body and she should be able to decide what she wants to do with her body, regardless of if I agree with it or not, regardless of if I think it's the right thing or not. Guess what? It doesn't matter what I think. It legitimately doesn't matter what I think. It's her body and she can do whatever she wants with it. I seen someone tweet, well, you know what? I'm not speaking up on behalf of the woman. You're right. It is her body. She can do whatever she wants with it. I'm speaking up for the fetus in her uterus. Think about what you just said. How can you separate the two? The fetus in her uterus is also her. I could argue that the mother and the child are never inseparable even after birth. Definitely not before birth. Those two are one in the same. And you want to know how you prove it? Here's how you prove it. Go talk to a woman who's lost a child, who's had a stillborn, who's had a miscarriage. Go talk to her and see if she doesn't to this day still feel connected to that child. Go ask her. To the point where some women still understand and know the due dates of their miscarried child. And every time that time of year comes around, there's a sense of sadness that comes over them because the memory of that child that was lost. There's still a connection there. You can't separate the two. And if that woman has decided to do something with a part of herself, she should be able to have that decision, make that decision, and sure as heck not be told by a guy that she can't make that decision. I don't understand why with this particular subset of people, and I do think that it's the same set of people, I don't understand why when it comes to gun laws, you know, the guns that people are using to kill us every day, when it comes to the gun laws, restricting them and making them illegal is not a good way to go, because if you do that, then all the criminals are going to have guns and all the upstanding citizens won't. Okay, I'm following you. Let's carry that logic all the way through. Let's see if you still keep that same energy if we carry that logic all the way through. What about abortions? Well, that's different. No. Come back. Don't back away from the table now. Tell me about this one. Just make it illegal because it shouldn't be happening. Okay, but murders are happening with guns and other weapons. That shouldn't be illegal, right? We shouldn't take the tools away from someone to kill someone, I don't know, let's say at the age of 16. But if they're 6 weeks on inside as a fetus, then we can take the tools away for them to kill them then. It's funny how these same people care about this fetus that is 6 weeks old, but not a person that's 16 years old. If you make it illegal, the women that need it are going to have to go other places to get it, meaning traveling across state lines or finding the back alley doctor that is willing to do it at an unknown and unmarked address with not all the right tools and not all the right care in case something goes wrong. And then here we are with the bigger issue. Now we are losing the baby and the mother. I'm just saying, if just completely banning it and making it illegal and taking all the tools away because life is in existence, if that works for abortion, why doesn't it work for gun laws? I'm just asking a question. Why doesn't it work for both? If that's your logic and you want to carry that logic all the way through, humor me. Tell me, why doesn't it work? Now, from a Christian standpoint, let's talk about it. Do I think that God is pro-abortion? Absolutely not. Do I think that God wants babies to be aborted? Absolutely not. Do I think that God's heart would be for everything that starts to develop as a life to have life? I do. But this is the question to all of my Christian people who are just loving this right now. Here's the question that I want you to ask yourself about the God that you serve. When God created us, right? And us being human beings, he had a choice. He said, I could make them love me and serve me, or I could give them free will and allow them to decide whether they're going to love me and serve me. This is God now. It doesn't get any higher above the hierarchy than this. I'm not talking about Peter. I'm not talking about Paul. This isn't Melchizedek. This isn't Moses or Abraham. I'm talking about God. He could have easily created human beings without a choice on what we were going to do, what we were going to do with our days, what we would do with our lives, what we would do with our spiritual walk, what we would do with our physical beings. He could have very easily said, you know what? I'm just going to make these people and create them here and force them to love me and force them to worship me and force them to follow my principles. But instead, he gave us free will, which means we have the opportunity and the privilege to decide what we want to do with our spiritual lives, even if it's to our own detriment. Even if it's something that he doesn't agree with, even if it's something that God would not want for our lives and for our future, he still gave us the ability to decide. Why would he do that? Tell me what you would want. Would you want to force someone to love you every day, or would you want someone who chooses to love you every day? Probably the latter, right? If you're stable. If you're not stable, then this is probably not the right conversation for us to have anyway. You would want someone to choose to love you, right? And so if God, the creator, the architect of all things, the religion that you serve, that you go to every Sunday with your Bible under your arm and your church hat on, the real big church hat, you know, the one that's so big that I can't sit behind you on Sundays because if I do, I won't be able to see anything. That church, you know, the one you go to and you stump a hole in the carpet. The God that created all these things gave us a choice. He gave us free will. If that God is not imposing their will and their principles, their beliefs upon the entire world, what gives you the right? What gives you the mind to say that you can impose your will and your beliefs on other people? Yes, God is loving. Yes, God is caring. Yes, he's also a consuming fire. He's also a free will God. You hear people pray, God, please take the sin away. He's not going to take it away. He gave you the power to walk away from it. He said, if you resist it, it'll flee. But you have to do it. You know what that means? That means you have a choice. So why are we as Christians trying to be greater than God and restrict the choices of other people? You don't gain people by forcing your beliefs on them. That's what it's all about, right? We're here to save souls. We are here to live our lives as an example to further the kingdom of God. How do you think you do that? By forcing your beliefs on other people. What if they don't want to serve your God? What if they don't think of your God the way that you think of your God? What if they haven't had the encounter and the experience with your God the way that you have yet? What if it just isn't their time yet? What if their time is coming, but you forcing your beliefs down their throat keeps pushing it back? It's more Christians sending people to hell and turning people away from God than it is anybody else. And I should say Christians with an air quote. Jesus wasn't going around saying, come here, let me give you this word and let me force my beliefs on you. And you have no other choice but to drop your nets and follow me. I read the book. It ain't in there. It's not in there. That's not how it works. And so explain to me, how is it a godly thing to do? It's a Christ-like thing to do, to force your beliefs, your belief system, what you think on other people. To create law that forces them to worship the God that you worship, or to follow the principles and the guidelines of the God that you worship. God didn't do that. He didn't do that with us. Well, he did do that with the children of Israel because he gave them all these rules and guidelines that they had to follow, and they couldn't wear certain things and they couldn't eat certain things. Yeah, he told them. Yeah, those were the guidelines. They still had a choice. If you know enough to know that you saw them not do it. You know that you saw them do the opposite. You know that you saw them disobey. Which means what? They still had a choice. That's all I'm saying. We don't get to tell people what to believe. We can tell them what we believe and hope that we are living our lives in such a way that they are wanting to know more. They're desiring and they become thirsty to know more about what we believe. We could do that, but we don't get to force our beliefs on someone else. We just don't. It's just not how this thing works. it's just not how it works. There are so many other things that aren't biblically allowed, so to speak, but are legally acceptable. Like, how far do we go down this road? So, I don't know, man. I know it's a heavy topic. I think it's a super important conversation. I think it's something that we all should talk about. I want to hear your thoughts. I want to hear from you. Hit me up on Twitter at Tony R. Sanders and on Instagram at Tony R. Sanders. I definitely want to know what you guys think. I had other things on the docket today. I wanted to talk about Lil Nas X and Old Town Road. I wanted to talk about a couple other things. You know what? We'll do Lil Nas X and Old Town Road. That's how we'll end it. We'll end it on a much lighter note. We can all breathe. Look, do me a favor. Let's all take a second and breathe. I know the evangelicals are listening to this and they're all hot behind the ears. Let's take a second to breathe. Say thank you, Jesus, and let it go. Let's just take a second to breathe. Everybody calm down. Stop waving your Bibles at your phone and at your radio. I get it. I know. Let's just all take a second. Calm down. Let's breathe. Let it go. You can't control other people's bodies. They're going to do what they're going to do anyway. Just let them do it. It's up to them. It's between them and their bodies and their gods and what they serve, what they believe. You can't decide for them. Anyway, I'm off that. Man, have you ever been tricked? I've been tricked before. And there's two different ways to be tricked. I get tricked by my children, right? my children attempt to trick me, and I know it's a trick, and sometimes I let the trick happen just to see what the trick game is like. You ever do that? It's like, okay, kid, I know what you're doing. I'm going to let you do it just to see how good you are at doing it. Sometimes they're not good at it, and so you just let them, you know, like, let the trick work, because if they think they're good at it, they won't try to get better at it, right? But sometimes if they're too good at it, then you got to nip it in the bud right then and there, like, yo, hey, don't do that. So that's one kind of trick, when you know what's happening. There's another kind of trick that I'm not okay with, and it's the kind of trick that gets me emotionally invested, and you don't find out until it's already done, it's already happening, that you've been tricked, right? It's not like a magic trick where they say, hey, I'm about to trick you. Is this your car? And you're like, yeah, you knew you were being tricked. That's okay. I don't like the tricks where it happens and later you're like, oh my God, they tricked me. That's the trick I don't like. And that is what Lil Nas X has done to the world. Lil Nas X put out the Old Town Road, which is an incredible song, by the way. He put out the Old Town Road movie, as they're calling it. Let's play a clip from the movie.
Whoa! Boss, I'm flabbergasted. Why we stop?
When you see a black man on a horse going that fast, you just gotta let him fly.
You're right. That's a horse horse.
That is a horse horse.
That's a horse horse. Shout out to HaHa Davis. He is hilarious. Shout out to Chris Rock. Let me explain to you how we're being tricked. I think Lil Nas X is the poster child for how successful outrage marketing could be. I think that we've started to see it over the last couple of years, and now I think people are starting to catch on and understand what's going on. We saw it with the Gucci's of the world, and we saw it with the, H&M? Was it H&M? Who was it? The Coolest Monkey in the Jungle? I don't remember who it was. We saw it with that. We saw it with the Kylie Jenner Pepsi commercial. We've seen it with so many different things, right? And what outrage marketing is it gets you so upset about something that you start to become emotionally invested in the situation. And once you're emotionally invested, it allows the people that are in control of the situation to then pull you in and bring you with them on this journey to sell more product. Let me explain to you how this happened with Lil Nas X. Let me tell you what my theory is first. Lil Nas X is an artist for a major, major record label who has been in artist development for the last 2 to 3 years and is working with a genius marketing team who found something that wasn't out-of-the-box marketing. It was something that they customized to fit him, his style, and his unique talents. Now, I want to say this. The kid is extremely talented. The marketing plan is genius. The kid is going to have more songs that really, really work. But one of the hardest things to do as an artist, as a creator, is to cut through. I'm always thinking of ways I can cut through more with the podcast. I can reach more people. I can catch other people's attention, right? Same thing with music. There's a million SoundCloud rappers. There's a million people putting out songs. It's so easy to grab one of these mics and a computer and make an album and put it. I can make an album and put it out tonight if I wanted to. In fact, I've done that before. I've done mixtapes where I woke up one morning, recorded, and by the time I went to bed that night, a mixtape was out, right? It's so easy to do that it gets crowded. It's like rush hour traffic. And so you have to find a way to cut through so people that are into consuming your product can find you and engage into your content. One of the greatest ways to do that now in the social media era is to get people to feel something. Actually, that's always been the thing in marketing. You always want to get people to feel something. Now, what you want people to feel is angry. The world is so divided that it pays to be divisive. It's really easy to come and draw a divide between a group of people because everyone's going to watch, just like the Kardashians. I'm going to watch the show because it's so stupid. I'm going to watch the show because I love it so much. Ah, same thing with Trump. Oh, let me see what he tweeted because he's such an idiot. Oh, let me see what he tweeted because he's the greatest thing that ever happened. Ah, right? That's how it works. And so with the Lil Nas X thing, He has a song, Old Town Road. It's like a 2.5 minute song. It seems subtle. Like, okay, it's a little different. You know, this guy's doing country music or whatever, whatever. And then this big beef breaks out that it was climbing up the Billboard charts. And Billboard took it off the country charts because it's not a country song. Right? And so all this controversy is happening. And then you get the two sides. Oh, these people are white supremacists and they're racist and they're keeping Lil Nas X off the billboards because he's black. They're saying it's not a country song when it's clearly a country song. And yeah, country people even saying, oh my gosh, this is so crazy. This guy should be on the country record. So now everyone is outraged at Billboard. And so all their support, all their energy goes to, well, let's make sure that Lil Nas X succeeds. Let's make sure that we get him to the country record, right? The country charts. And so out of nowhere, Billy Ray Cyrus says, I'll help. That's not a coincidence. That doesn't happen every day. That's not something that just was like, oh, isn't that a good idea? That was planned. That was strategic. For it to be specifically him, to get on this song specifically, and jump in and say, okay, now make it not country. You have one of the greatest country singers that have ever lived on this song. Now make it not country. With all the eyes on it, they struck while the iron is hot. They got Billy Ray Cyrus on the remix. They put out the remix. It's incredible. It goes crazy. All the radio stations are playing it now. This wasn't getting any spin on the hip-hop radio stations, right? It was just on country music. Now it's getting country music and hip-hop. Now it's become a pop culture phenomenon. It's on Good Morning America. They're talking about it on The View. They're talking about it at The Breakfast Club. They're talking about it at Hot 97. They're talking about it in any media outlet that holds any weight. They're talking about it. And so, of course, the song is a hit. Here's where they showed their hand. In the video, this video for a new artist that has one song that surprisingly bubbled overnight, right? If I'm going with what they want us to believe, bubbled overnight, only has one song available. We don't know if he's going to be able to create another one. We don't know if he's going to be able to put an album out, even though he is. He has more than just one song in the tuck. But this is the narrative that's being created. They put so much money into the song that you have Chris Rock, Ha Ha Davis, Vince Staples, Billy Ray Cyrus. There's some other people that I'm missing that was in this video. A star-studded video for this guy who has one song. Who just has one song. Millions of dollars. And it's not even just a music video. It's a 6-minute short film. I don't believe for a second they just found this kid somewhere in Atlanta and he had this song and all these people just chipped in to help. This was a strategic, well-thought-out, well-planned, well-played outrage marketing plan. This is outrage marketing when it looks good. When it looks horrible, we've seen that, right? It was Jussie. That looks really, really bad, right? When we see Gucci, people go back and buy Gucci, right? That was gut-wrenching. That was nasty. That was ugly, but it helped them. This is outrage marketing at its finest. Kanye West does it all the time. I don't think he's as good as it as the team that put Lil Nas X's playing together. But he said it in one of his songs. Everybody feel a way about Ye, but at least you feel something. Right? Getting people to feel something is the key to great marketing. Right now, the feeling that pays the most, it's not happiness. It's not joy. It's not enthusiasm or excitement. Right now, it's outrage. You can get people upset. You can get them to rally behind a movement. And here's the cool thing about it now, and I'm going to leave after this. Here's the cool thing about it now. To rally people around a movement today, it only needs to happen in the digital space. You don't need people to actually come out and leave their homes, not right away. Eventually, you go on tour, you sell out shows, which, by the way, this kid is rocking festival shows. Like, that's incredible. Salute to him. But initially, you just need a digital movement. You need people to tweet about it and stream it. You can join the movement and be a disruptor and never have to put on underwear. Huh? Just think about that for a second. If I'm a company and I can get you upset enough in a digital environment to get behind a movement, you can do everything that I need you to do from a movement perspective without leaving your house. You need a cell phone. You need a laptop. You need Wi-Fi. That's it. Now, I will say, to his credit, and I'm not knocking him, this is not a knock on him, the content still has to be good, right? Great marketing will make a bad product die faster, right? More people will know that it sucks, and then eventually your name will be mud, and then no one will want to work with you. No one will want to engage in the content that you create. That's why sometimes when you're first starting out in content, it's good to take it slow until you can build up a level of content that you know will work with people. But if the content is good and you know it's going to hit, which a big record company who does this for a living, that team knows when they have a hit and they know they have someone that's really talented, they know this is going to go. When that happens, and you got a kid like Lil Nas X that's just very charismatic and he lives in his own skin, he has great personality, he has all these great characteristics, charisma. Yes, this is an opportunity to put a great product with a great marketing scheme to get everyone to go crazy, and that's exactly what they did. So shout out to whoever did that genius outrage marketing plan. I don't like that you tricked me, but I do like the trick that you pulled, if that makes any sense at all. I'm out. That's it, guys. I appreciate you tuning in this week. Definitely check out my YouTube page. It is in the description in the show notes. Check me out on Instagram @TonyRSanders and on Twitter @TonyRSanders. Until next time, I'll see you guys next week. Peace.